Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Well, this is the last in our series on faith, and today we're talking about stand. And so sometimes we think of faith as an aggressive force. We sometimes think of it as taking the land and dominating a situation and overcoming in this situation. But actually, there's a time when the greatest step of faith that you can make is just to stand. God has got you in a position where he's clothed you with shock absorbers, if you like, and that's called the armor of God. I want to take you through a passage, which is quite a lengthy passage. So every time we come to the particular theme of today's message, I want you to shout it out, and the theme is stand. Okay, so finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. Hey, Warunga was really loud right then, so I want us to do it again, and everybody match Warunga. Everybody, go.
Stand.
That's good. Put on the full armor that you may stand against the devil's schemes. But our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to
stand.
Very good. Your ground. And after you've done everything to
stand.
Yeah, that's a bit difficult. Two stands, just one after the other. All right, one, two, three. Firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place. Stand with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So this is telling us that there are going to be days of pressure. In fact, if you'd wanted a trouble-free life, you should never become a Christian. There's plenty of other religions in the world, you know, like, but you decide you're going to follow Jesus. Look what they did to him. And you can't expect that you're going to get treated any better. And that was only after 3.5 years of exposure to the world. Here we are after, like, whatever, 30, 40. You're going to find yourself encountering difficult times. But it's the making of you. In fact, James says, count it all joy when you enter into various trials. Various? I thought there's only like one trial. No, there's a whole smorgasbord, a whole great variety. So if you're not in one, you'll be in another. You'll find virtually all the time there is going to be some challenge, some difficulty happening in your life. And I believe right now, as we are in this session here today, that something incredible is going to happen in every single person's life. As you just get a spark of faith, and think, I can make it through this thing. Because I feel like something good can happen to every one of us, but often we have a level of cynicism in us from past disappointments that say, well, maybe for other people or else my situation, no, it's too hard for God. And that means your God's too small and your problem's too big. If we magnify the Lord, which you can't actually make God bigger, but to yourself you can. Every time we praise, we magnify God. And when we magnify him, we, whatever the other word is, diminish our problems. We make God bigger and our problems smaller. So there are a lot of troubles that can come into our lives and challenges and difficulties. But we don't need to let them get us down. Faith lives above the circumstances that are trying to dominate you and make you sad or give you disappointment or discourage you or take you out of the race. And so Paul says, listen, there may be days when you can't even take a step of faith. We talked about that last week. But there may be days when you feel like there's nothing left to do except to just stay standing. I've done everything I can do. All I can do now is just stay my position. I'm not going to walk backwards. I'm not going to turn around and go back. There's no armor for my back. There's armor for my front. I'm not going to sit down and sulk. I'm not going to lie down and try and escape the situation. I'm not going to go sideways. I'm going to stand. I'm just going to stay standing exactly in the place where I'm meant to be. Go ahead, give the Lord a clap offering and say, I'm going to stand. I'm going to be a person who you can rely on. I'm going to be there. So one of the things that as we stand, there's a decision that every one of us have to make, and that is to resist what is evil. Because if we don't resist, we're not fighting. And Paul says to Timothy in 1:6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Fight means to resist a force trying to come against you. In fact, Paul says at the beginning of that Ephesian scripture, we wrestle. Man, I wish it wasn't a wrestling match. I wish it was like a shooting match or a sword match. But it's wrestling where you feel like you're just smothered. You're covered. You're in the grip of somebody who's wrestling with you. But all you have to do is to actually invoke the power of God upon you by resisting. And it just says, put up a fight and you're going to find you get the victory. If we sit down, if we give up, if we say, I can't do it anymore, we're going to find ourselves getting overwhelmed by this. But listen to me. As you make a decision here today, just a little decision, you say, I'm going to beat this thing. I'm going to start resisting discouragement from dominating my thinking. I'm going to start resisting the feeling of condemnation that I get from feeling guilty about past failures. I'm going to resist that sense of shame that the devil keeps trying to put on me. And as you put up a fight against negative things, whatever you do, don't give consent to the devil. There are times when the enemy would like to try and say to you, it's a righteous thing for you to feel guilty. It's a good thing that you feel bad about what you've been. And he will try and convince you that even fear is something from God. But the Bible says God has not given you the spirit of fear. And so we need to resist those things that are destroying us on the inside. And you'll find as soon as you put up a fight that God comes to help you. Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I know you think it's that nasty boss you got. I know you think it's that useless employee you've got. Well, I wouldn't say useless, but you know, annoying. And I know you think it's your dog that won't stop barking. I know you think it's the neighbors or whoever. But actually he's saying, guys, it's not flesh and blood we're fighting. You think you've got a human problem. You think you've got a circumstantial problem. You think you've got a business problem. But actually, we've got a more sinister enemy in the dark regions. And he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, there's a lot of, as I said before, there's a lot of challenges that we're going to face, difficulties and trials. But the Bible says the Lord delivers you out of them all. There's not one trial that you're going to face that is designed to destroy you. Trials are designed to strengthen you. You don't get trials to try and make you fail. God allows trials in our lives to help us succeed. You cannot be an overcomer unless you've actually got something to overcome. And so you're going to grow every time you exercise that muscle of deciding, I'm going to beat this thing. And today, if you're thinking of giving up, can I say to you, whether you're in Manly, whether you're in Avalon, whether you're in Roselle, wherever you are today, in any of our congregations across the city, this is not the time to give up. This is the time to stand up. And this is the time to say, I'm going to get this thing. I'm going to actually be an overcomer. I'm going to wrestle it to the ground. I've got all the power of God on my side. I'm going to beat this thing in Jesus' name. There are times when we have prayed out and cried out to God with all our heart, and it seems like he's done nothing. And you're going like, why doesn't God answer me? Why doesn't God do something? And we can find ourselves in a terrible moment where we're in a dilemma about whether faith really works or not. But there are times when God is trying to shift our gears from depending entirely upon him to bring about the solution to us learning that we have within us as his children the power of God to exercise in any given circumstance. And sometimes we'll find when we're a young Christian, God is doing all kinds of things for us. We just get set free from this, and we're set free from that, and miracles are happening everywhere. And then they can seem to fade off. And we're going like, what happened to all that early days when everything was, he wants you to change gear into you bringing about the miracles. When they walked out of the land of the wilderness into the land of Canaan, it says on the day the bread stopped falling, that was the day they entered the land of Canaan. So when the miracle stopped, it may not be a bad sign. It could be a good sign. It could be a sign that you're entering into your promised land. But it also means there's a few giants in the way that you're going to learn to fight and know what warfare is and discover what growing in Christ really is, so that you are transformed from once being a weak person to being a strong person, from once being a vulnerable person to being an overcomer. And you'll find that as you travel through trials, every one of them are designed to actually help you grow. There's the storms of life. Life just happens. And if you're built on the rock, you're going to find that your house will survive the storms that come. Life has storms in it. Jesus says, when the storm comes. He doesn't say if it comes. For every one of us, there's going to be storms. But if your house is built on Jesus, you've separated all the dirt between you and the rock, and you've now built your house on a sure foundation, you're immovable. You will stand no matter what happens in your world. You're going to find you're like a rock. The second trial that I just want to mention, I've only got about three or four here. I didn't want to go through the whole list of 10. That's a little depressing for Sunday morning. But here's a few. The trial of faith, when it seems like your faith didn't work. And 1 Peter 1:7 says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So God takes us through moments where we don't understand why something didn't work, why our prayers didn't get answered, why things didn't happen or come out the way that we expected them to. In those moments, I would say to you, change gear and go into trust. Because there are some things about God that are beyond our understanding. The Bible calls them mysteries. And there's plenty of references to mysteries in the New Testament. In those moments, it's changing gear and just trusting God is in heaven and he's ruling, and I'm going to stay standing. I'm not going to walk backwards out of the Christian faith just because I had a little disappointment over here. I'm not going to go sideways in my attitude just because something didn't work out quite the way I wanted it to. But Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is the Lord of my life. No matter what happens here on earth, he remains in control. He remains the king of my life. The dealings of God. Oh, the Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship. The word workmanship means poem. So we are like a masterpiece in the making. God is an artist, and he's chipping away at that piece of sculpture, which is eliminating things in our lives. And we're going, oh, I want to hang on to that piece of rock. And he says, no, we're chipping it out. And he is fashioning you. He's painting on a canvas. He is creating this beautiful, beautiful piece of art. In fact, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah talks about God like a potter. And that's not as a pleasant sort of process as just painting on a canvas, because you end up in the fire, you end up in a kiln, and you end up on a wheel going round and round. And there are moments in your life where you do feel like I'm in an impossible circumstance. The fire is going on all around me. I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this. Listen, in the furnace of affliction, the Bible says, I have chosen you. That's when he makes his choices. He sees you in that furnace, in that fire, in that difficult situation. And because you're still standing and your hands are lifted up and you're in church on Sunday there at Avalon, you're in church at Roselle, you're in church at Penrith, you're lifting your hands and you're praising God, even though you've got incredibly difficult, impossible circumstances going on all around you, you're bringing the sacrifice of praise to God every Sunday. You're bringing worship and glory, and you're rising up with a high praises of God in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand, in spite of all the difficulties, in spite of all the challenges, and you're saying, you know what? I am going to win. I'm breaking through with praises. Nevertheless, amen. Fourth one, persecution. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and theirs, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Because you stand for Christ, you'll be criticized. And sometimes it'll be personal. It'll be about you or whatever. And you'll find there's just a rub in the whole world about naming the name of Jesus Christ. But today there's like 2 billion people in the world making that stand. And you are part of an enormous company of people who are claiming that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And God would desire that there's 7 billion, the entire earth, be filled with the glory of God. And that's part of our purpose and our process. But the price to stand for Jesus sometimes is that it's going to cost you your reputation. It's going to cost you some criticism. But the last one I wanted to talk about in these final moments of this message is warfare. And warfare involves all kinds of things that the enemy of your soul, who's only got one design in mind, and that's to destroy you. He doesn't come for any other reason than to kill, steal, and destroy. And so he will use all kinds of tactics like temptation. He'll use discouragement. He'll use condemnation. He'll use torment. And there is a trap that he tries to lure all of us in. He has schemes. And sometimes those schemes are over a long period of time. But as we start to walk with Christ, we're going to find there are pulls on our life to take us away from the Lord. And not every temptation is to an immoral act or something like that. I mean, in the Garden of Eden, eating an apple isn't like bad. It's not wrong every time you pick up an apple. Ooh, this is what Eve did. I better not do that. There's nothing wrong with that, but it was disobedience. It was to do something you're told not to do. And with Jesus in the wilderness, he was tempted to turn a stone into bread and to use miraculous powers just to affirm who he was. He said, no, I'm not going to respond to that. I'm not going to act in doubt. And so the temptation is not always to something wrong. It's to do something that we're guided not to do. And God is wanting to keep us from that. But then there are temptation to immoral things, to dark things that appeal to the darker side of our nature. But the trap is that once the promise of pleasure is very short-lived, and the things that we don't anticipate, like guilt and shame and condemnation, are extremely difficult to deal with. The torment in a person's mind, the torment in their heart. But happily, there is a Savior, and we can come to Him. But sometimes people feel very bad about coming to Him when they know it was their fault. But that's the whole reason Jesus died. For all of us, because he knew it was our fault. All we got to do is say, I blew it. I'm so sorry. And you might be thinking, well, I did that last week. And he tells us to forgive 70 times 7, which means for infinity. And he is exactly the same. If he's asking us as mere humans to do it, surely God in heaven has mercy that reaches to the heavens. Billions of light years of mercy, unending mercy for anybody who comes to Him. His goodness is unfailing. He knows our frame. He knows how frail we are. And if we've stumbled and tripped and made a mistake, let's come back to Him. Don't walk away from Him. Stand. Stand before the throne of God. Stand in boldness and say, I'm here to receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. I'm feeling a bit ashamed. I'm feeling a bit embarrassed about my faults and the times that I promised I'd do it and I've failed on that. But I'm still going to stand here claiming the mercy of God, claiming the forgiveness of God, claiming the uncondemning love of God and the peace of God to rule in my heart. Not even any process can make us right with God. Not even being good enough can make us right with God. There's no goodness good enough for a human to do that can make us get us that right position before God. Only Jesus has lived that life. That's when I say, I'm not standing in my own righteousness. You know, in the Old Testament, the prophet Moses was told, take off your sandals. But in the New Testament, when the prodigal son returns home, they say, put on these sandals. And we stand today. That was in the Old Testament, your own righteousness, take it off. But in the New Testament, we're given new righteousness. And it's called the righteousness of Jesus that we stand before God on. We say, here I am, I'm standing in His righteousness, immovable in Jesus' name. As soon as you stand there and you start to say, I'm going to resist discouragement today. I'm going to resist all those things that are trying to condemn me. I have found that you've got to get a hold of the weapon that God has given you. Right at the beginning, I spoke about the full armor of God, that you may be able. So our ability is in having this armor on. If we don't have it on, we don't have the ability to actually succeed in this battle. But it says, take up the shield of faith and take up the sword of the Spirit. And the reason I believe that it says take them up is because we drop them so often. I find that even after 40 years of battling most every day in some area or other, I still forget to just speak that scripture. The power in it is unbelievable. And if we would just take up that sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you have got that word inside your mouth, inside your lips. And for those who are suffering condemnation, take up Romans 8:1 and just say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Take a hold of it, speak it, and watch chains break. If those of you who are struggling with fear, take up the scripture and say, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When we're feeling rejection, say, I am accepted in the Beloved. Amen. I am fully accepted by Christ, by God in heaven. When we're feeling like there's no provision in our life and it's not coming through, we need a breakthrough. Say, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. As soon as you speak that sword, it'll have the double-edged effect of one defeating the enemy and the other edge will build your faith. And once you build that faith through the Word of God, it connects with the power of God to bring about that miracle in your life. We're engaged in warfare. We're engaged in a fight. And if we take a hold of this message today and say, not only am I going to stand, I'm going to resist. I'm going to resist the attacks of the enemy. I'm going to stand in the power of the blood of Christ. I'm forgiven and washed clean. I'm going to stand in the power of His justification. I'm righteous with the righteousness of Christ. I'm going to stand in this gospel. I'm going to not stand on my own merit, not stand on my own strength. I'm going to stand in the power of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who overcame death, hell, and the devil. We are in the victor's seat here today in Jesus' mighty name. I'm about to close, and so all of us at all of our various locations around the city, the location pastor there will come forward, and he's going to pray for people so that you're going to be able to receive Jesus. If you've never done that, please today say, yes, I want Christ to come into my life. Some of you might be facing struggles that are really overwhelming you, and we're going to give you that opportunity to be prayed for at the end of the service. And so I want to sort of stand up right now all around our locations, and I want to pray for you in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll help every believer at every one of our locations throughout the city of Sydney. And we believe, Lord, today that the Spirit of God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost that breaks chains and destroys bondages, would come into people's lives and assist them. Lord, we pray that You'll help us all to grow and to be transformed, and to become stronger and stronger as believers, standing in the ground that You've purchased for us to live in victory in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Amen. I want the musicians. Oh, you're all here. Look at that. Sneaky people. I wanted to take the opportunity. I mean, that's way too short a service for us. Here, we're normally 3 hours. If you're a visitor, no, we're not. We're normally a little longer than this, but always have got a balance between thinking people went to all that trouble getting their kids together and their husband and getting them in the car, checking in the husband, and excuse me. And coming to church, and then it just turning out to be like 40 minutes long or something, it was almost not worth it. But then, on the other hand, you know, I mean, I'd just keep on preaching all day long if you'd stay, but amen. And I often go out there and people say, oh, somebody rebuked me last week. They chided me. They said, you made me very unhappy today. I said, why? You finished. So oh, you're such a nice person. Hey, everyone. What a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.